is that not everything is your fault and not everything is her fault. But you have two choices when a wife makes a comment, meaning every time one of the spouses criticizes, they're hurting the marriage. That's true. But at the end of the day, the wife has to put in much more work than the husband does. As hard as the husband's going to work, he's not coming close to the amount of work his wife is putting in. And
why is that?
That you'll have to take my word for. Give yourself 10 years of marriage and we'll talk again.
I'm learning all day and she's at home with the kids, but that's not really how, like...
No, I'm not assuming that. I'm assuming you're working 3 jobs. I'm assuming you're taking the kids in the morning, making lunches at night, cleaning the floor, doing the shopping, doing the laundry and the ironing, and I'm still saying she's doing much more than you are.
Psychologically or...
No, physically. You'll see. Let's talk in after 10 years of marriage. If you disagree with me, then come back and tell all the guys I was wrong. Yeah, please. No, make sure to come back. If you're married 10 years and you still see it differently, then let's talk. The fact of the matter is that there are a few critical differences between men and women. Difference number one is that women express their feelings in their talk. Men express their thought in their talk. Meaning, when a woman says, I hate you, I wish I would have never married you, you're the meanest, cruelest, unkind creature I ever saw, I can't even call you a human being, all she means to say is you got me really upset. When a man says, I hate you, he means, I hate you. Two different, they use the same words. They mean two totally different things. When a woman says, you know, I can't believe you did that. You bought the wrong things, and now everything you did is for naught. What she means to say is, it really bothers me that you didn't get the right thing, because now I'm going to have more work to do, and it's much. And to me, it's less than I would have wanted. What the man hears is, what you did is worthless to me. And then he feels like, wait a second, why are you saying that? Because the man interprets it the way men would talk. And if I would say what you did is worthless to me, that's what I meant. Right? Us men, we say what we mean. Us women, they say what they feel, but it's not what they mean. They don't mean the literal words. So that critical difference, so when she gives criticism, I'm not saying it's right, but it's not as wrong as when you give criticism. You could say the exact same words. She could say, I hate you, and you say, I hate you too. And she will walk away being destroyed. And you'll say, I don't understand. I said the same thing you did. And she'll say, yeah, but you meant it.
Well, that's just saying that like men have less feelings, and I think that's not...
I didn't say they have less feelings. I said their expression is different. Our use of words is different. Our semantics is different.
Wait. We're saying the same exact thing, and I think it's to discredit men. Hey, they have men over here. Don't we have emotions? Don't we feel when women say nasty things to us?
No one said you don't have emotions. I'm not saying you don't feel it. I'm just saying... I'm not saying you don't have feelings. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt when she says it. I'm just saying you have to know what she means when she says it and what you mean when you say it. So it's true, you might feel as bad or worse than her. In a different class, we'll discuss why she feels worse than you do. Not only because you mean it. Also because of our makeup is different. But we'll leave that for now. Let's assume we both feel the same way. We won't argue that point. Let's assume we do. But what we mean when we speak, what we mean to say is very different. Now, that's only one point. There are many points of difference. And at the end of the day, let's assume she's wrong. I'll go with you. It's not right that she expresses herself that way. It's not as wrong as if you'd express yourself that way. It's not as wrong as you feel it, but that doesn't make it right. I agree with you it's wrong, and I agree it's hurtful. But now let's explore your two options of reaction. What are your choices now? At a different occasion, we'll discuss a third option. But right now, what are your two choices? You walk through the door. You're living in Israel. You don't have a car. You forgot to take the wagon. You're schlepping 15 bags. And over your shoulder is the sack of detergent, which you got on sale at a very good price. And you feel like, I remembered everything she said, even though I forgot my list at home. You bring everything home. And all she sees is the detergent. And you're standing there sweating bullets. You just slept at all. You feel like, hey, I did the world for her, right? I waited online. I forgot something. I ran back and I got it. I argued with the cashier. I did everything. And all at the expense of time, I needed other things to do that. And I didn't do anything. I dealt with that. And she says, hey, why'd you get that detergent? Don't you remember I told you that's the detergent the kids are allergic to? Now, what are your two choices? What are your two choices of reaction? You can react and say, hey, that's ridiculous. That's not fair. Forget it. I'm never doing the shopping again. Or you can find a way of swallowing it.
I would just say, my first time, I would just say what happened. I would say, listen, babe, this is what happened, all right? How would you have dealt with it, you know? I think put it in perspective.
Okay. And the last point of the Mishnah, according to Rambam writes and others write, this point is one of the most critical points in our service of Hashem, and especially in our generation. The Mishnah concludes and says, "Ve'al tehi rasha bifnei atzmecha." A person should not view himself as a wicked person. Our self-esteem, our self-image is critical. And this is a point not only about ourselves, also about our spouse. A good husband and a good wife helps to boost one another's self-image. When there is a problem of competition, then people find themselves putting one another down. And the way a good relationship should look is that spouses are constantly pushing up one another's ego, constantly seeing the good in one another. And again, this is a point that doesn't come naturally. What comes naturally in marriage is that there's an element of competition. And that's why especially men have a hard time complimenting. Because I'm good. I'm fine. I'm perfect. She doesn't yet know what a good guy she got. If I tell her that, it'll get to her head. Don't worry about it. It won't get to her head. But on the contrary, if a person can help the other person have a positive self-image, then they're building the relationship on levels that you can't reach any other way. And in truth, deep down inside, most people, I would say all, but I don't think I'm smart enough to use such a word, but let's just say most people, enter marriage with a deep, deep desire to find someone who will accept them for who they are. In other words, find someone who will know their faults, know their weaknesses, and love them with those faults and weaknesses. What usually happens in marriage is that we find one another's faults and are disgusted by them. And then we spend the rest of married life harping on them, complaining about them, indicating how they should be different or better, or why we disapprove of them, or giving all this brilliant advice about how they should be overcome. And in truth, we're not building marriage. The true way to build marriage is to show the person, I love them for where they don't love themselves. And that's what we each want in marriage. What people really want in marriage is to find someone who loves me where I don't love myself. I know what's wrong with me. I know what's bad about me, and I know where I don't like myself. And I want you to like me where I don't like myself. And this is one of the greatest secrets of building a good marriage, to be able to love the person where they don't love themselves, to be able to accept the person where they have a hard time accepting themselves. And when we can really do that, then we help the person accomplish this Mishnah, V'al tehi rasha bifnei atzmecha. A person should not view themselves as a bad person. Every one of us has points where we feel badly about who we are, and they don't help our growth. I'll get to you in 1 second. This point can also be used in our building, in our Avodat Hashem. Very often people think of the tshuva process as focusing on what I did wrong. And the more we focus on what we did wrong, the less we grow. I have a very hard time convincing people of this, but I think this is one of the key points to growth. Ignore where you're wrong. Leave it on the side for a day or two or a week or two. Accept yourself for who you are and build beyond that. There was once a guy here who committed a very serious crime. He murdered. It's very serious. Now he kept walking around saying, I murdered, I'm a bad person, I'm a terrible person, I'm a horrible person, I can't believe I did that. But then he remained a horrible, terrible person because that's what he was focused on. He'd have been much better off saying, okay, I can't deal with this now. Let's compartmentalize, let's put that on the side, and let's build myself as a good person in every other way of life. And we're all that way. Whenever we start having growth, we remind ourselves, but I didn't do this right, and I didn't do that right, I didn't wake up on time, I didn't speak nicely to my parents, and I know all the skeletons I've hidden in my own closet. Forget the skeletons. So people always ask me, well, when are you going to do tshuva on those skeletons? And I always say, no, build yourself. After you're firmly built and you're a good person, those skeletons will naturally fall on their own, and whatever is left will decide then if you should focus on them or not. And at every level of growth, this is the same. We've often discussed the story about that yeshiva where guys were always waking up late, and they couldn't get the guys to wake up on time. As much as they gave them speeches and tried to get them to sleep on time and shut off the lights and made curfew and punishments and everything, it didn't work. And at one point, I said to Mashkiach, why don't we work the exact opposite? Tell the guys, we're not working on getting up on time. Get up whenever you want. But you have to guarantee us one thing. You don't think about the fact that you woke up late. Go to a minyan, daven, eat a normal breakfast, take a shower, do whatever you have to do. You show up to stay there an hour late, 2 hours late, 3 hours late. I don't care. Whenever you show up, on condition you don't think about it. As late as you show up, fine, we're not working on this point anymore. We've given up on this. Given up, but on condition. You could only do this on condition that you don't feel badly about it. Feel positive. What happened? For the first 3 days, party time, right? The guy was staying up late, going to shul late, showing up to seder late. But once they were given permission, they were told by their Rebbe, don't feel bad about it, that's your job now. So then the rest of the day was good. They had a positive day. Now when you have a positive day, then towards the end of the day, you tell yourself, hey, today was great, tomorrow could be better, I got to get to bed on time. And then a person slowly starts to build himself. What happens ordinarily when a person gets up late? He gets up late and he starts the day by saying, I hate myself. I hate getting up late. I know I should have gotten up on time. I got to buy another 2 alarm clocks. I can't stand this. And then he runs out to shul and he didn't shower and he stinks and he knows he stinks and he can't stand that either. And then he runs back and he feels all icky because he didn't change his clothing because he didn't have time to shower. He didn't have anything. He runs, he barely grabs something to eat. He runs to the Seder and he's all annoyed at his chavrusa. And he has a whole horrible first Seder, whatever's left of it. And obviously now he's not a very pleasant chavrusa to learn with. Like this, takes him another half hour, but he has a positive first Seder, whatever's left of it. He has a positive continuation to the day. And then, by the end of the day, after a day or two or a week or two, a person on his own, success breeds success. So a person on his own evolves into the positive. And it's this way with every midah. The hard point I have is convincing people to do this. But once people agree to do this, to say, okay, this is the type of person I am, this is where I'm holding, now let me ignore it, and I'll move forward, and I'll come back and deal with it in a month or in a half a year or whatever it is. Usually, once a person is willing to let go of his feeling badly about himself, being what the Mishnah calls rasha bifnei atzmecha, viewing himself badly, then the growth itself resolves the problem, resolves the issue. And if you think about it, there are many areas which we have this. Many areas. Yes, sir. Two things. Number one, we have to remember that a lot of life is about perspective. Adam and Eve had every fruit under the planet, literally. There was one they couldn't eat. But when the snake came and said to them, I hear God's not letting you eat anything around here. Then she says, no, we could eat everything except for that fruit. And he says, yeah, but you know what that fruit is. Come on, you know what God's keeping from you. You could take one thing that you don't have, and that could be everything. And that's the way Lashon Hara works. The Nachash was the first person to speak Lashon Hara, the first creature. Lashon Hara in the Torah is called Lotisa Shem Hashav. The Torah's prohibition about Lashon Hara says, do not take the name in vain, in false manner. What's false? Lashon Hara is the truth. Lashon Hara is a true fact given false proportions. That's what Lashon Hara is. So if we take the full picture, wait a second, this is an amazing person. So there's 1 point, so what? I have a million points. So that's first of all. Let's maintain perspective. Secondly, we discussed earlier, the way to acquire a trait is firstly to talk as though we have it. If a person can bring himself to saying it, let's take an example. Let's take a real example. His wife doesn't clean the house. She's a slob. Okay? The house is filthy, the house is messy, the house is a wreck, and whatever. I don't know, what's another example? Okay, we'll stick to that example. Person can say, you're great, doing a million things, you're amazing, and I like you just the way you are, and I like that too. So the house, fine. Other people have a clean house, but they have an uptight wife, but they have a million other faults. There can it's perspective, and it takes time, and it takes the desire to do it. The capacity to love a person as they are. I don't need you to change. There was once a class on people making themselves better. One church ran a function for the women on self-improvement. And the women's assignment was to go home and ask their husbands to make them a list on what they should improve. And then come back the next week and report to the class. So they come back the next week and the women are fuming, except for one. She came home and asked her husband, what should I improve on? I need a list for you on what to improve on. And the husband says, you want a whole list? So she says, yeah. And he says, okay, I need some time to think about it. I'll get back to you tomorrow. The next day, he comes home and he says, I have the list ready. And he pulls out from behind his back a bouquet of roses. And on each rose, there's a note hanging that says, I love you just the way you are. Now, she knew that she had faults. She knew that he knew that she had faults. She wasn't kidding herself. But the truth is that we can all work better on our faults when we feel that we're accepted with our faults. And that's, I think that's the key point to growth. What the Mishnah says, Al tei rasha bifnei atzmecha, a person cannot view himself negatively. Recognize the positive that you have and work off of the positive. Yes?
I agree with that point, but let's say you want your spouse to work on something, or you think it would, I don't know, something for the marriage, you think it would help. How do you address that ever, or do you ever address it?
That's a 20-minute, a half-hour class, which we don't have time for now. We'll get to it, Bezlat Hashem, in the course of our learning. If you want, you could see the other Binyan and Bayit classes, we've dealt with it. Meaning it's online, you could see it. You could hear it.